are down to zero. Zero. Time for liftoff here. Come on up. Find a seat. How about that? 20 days left of winter. We did it again. We're going to survive. All righty. Once upon a time, there were some animals who decided to start a school for animals. And they decided the courses would include running and climbing and swimming and flying. And then they also decided that all the animals would take all of the courses. And that's when the problem started. The duck was better than his teacher at swimming, but he made only passing grades in flying. And he was very poor in running, you know. The duck, yeah. So they made him drop swimming to stay after school to practice running. And that ruined his webbed feet, and he couldn't swim very well anymore. It's only average by that point. But everybody felt less threatened, you know, and a little bit more comfortable with that. Everybody except the duck. And then there was the rabbit. The rabbit started at the top of the class in running, you might imagine. But because of so much makeup work and swimming, he got pneumonia, and he had to leave school. Didn't work. And the squirrel showed outstanding ability in climbing, but he was extremely frustrated in trying to fly because the instructor demanded that he start from the ground instead of from the top of the tree, and he got Charlie horses in his legs, and he could hardly climb anymore. It was not working. He got a D in running, too, by the way. And the eagle was the problem student and was disciplined for being a nonconformist. See, the eagle had a way to get to the top of the tree, but it was not the way they wanted the eagle to do it. He didn't walk on her feet. He flew. And so the eagle decided after refusing to participate in the swimming class, she would just quit. The eagle was expelled. The point is that God has designed specific animals to excel in specific areas, and he doesn't expect them all to do everything well. And you know where we're going with this, don't you? When we expect everybody to have the same shape, all we're going to get is frustration and discouragement and mediocrity and failure. You know, it's common for us to joke about not having any abilities. That's where we're going this morning. We're going to focus on abilities. A lot of times we joke about, I don't have any. I don't have any. I don't have any abilities. And researching this message, I came across something I found kind of amusing, maybe even a little instructive. It's a spoof on the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA. Only the reasoning is that it might be good to come up with an act of Congress called the Americans with No Abilities Act. Wouldn't that be good? Let me just read to you some of how this would play out. It would sound like this. Congress is considering sweeping legislation which provides new benefits for many Americans. The Americans with No Abilities Act is being hailed as major legislation by advocates of millions of Americans who lack any real skills or ambition. Perfect. Roughly 50% of Americans do not possess the competence and drive necessary to carve out a meaningful role for themselves in society, said one senator. So we can no longer stand by and allow people of inability to be ridiculed and passed over. With this legislation, employers will no longer be able to grant special favors to a small group of workers simply because they do a better job or have some idea of what they're doing. Under the Americans with No Abilities Act, more than 25 million middleman positions will be created with important-sounding titles, but with really no responsibility. Doesn't that solve the problem? And so it goes on to say that this would their legislation would require that you hire at least one clueless worker for every two talented workers. It's a goofy thing. Finally, the ANA Act contains new tough measures to make it more difficult to discriminate against the non-abled, banning discriminatory interview questions such as, do you have any goals for the future? or do you have any skills or experience in this job? Can't ask those anymore. And so it goes. We're not made without ability. We have abilities. We shouldn't think in terms of what we can't do because it clouds what we can do. When we're thinking in terms of, no, I'm not good at that, no, I'm not good at that, no, I'm not good at that, and that's all we think about, we won't see what we can do. A duck is made to be a duck. It'll never be apt to think or act like a lion. Not made for that. And you were made to be you. That's good. You were made to be you. God has given you unique abilities, and he wants you to use them in his cause, in his purposes, so that he can bless them. Let's pray here, and we'll jump into this abilities topic. Father, we thank you. Thank you that we're made in your image, and as such, we're useful. What a relief. We didn't have a lot to do with it. You gave us certain abilities. We just pray this morning that you'd help us discover them and devote ourselves to them and develop them. In Jesus' name. Amen. The life of the church is very holistic, covering everything from birth to caring for the aged. And along the line, we need a whole bunch of abilities, not just a few. We need a lot of them. And nobody's going to have them all. Our series that we're going through is called SHAPE. It stands for spiritual gift, heart, today abilities, personality, and experiences. Our purpose in this series is to discover and to challenge and to celebrate what makes you you, how God made you, and how you can use who you are to his purposes. Our verse for the series is Ephesians 2:10, and it says that God has created us for good works that he already prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. We just see what they are and we walk in them. This week, somebody asked me about where it was that Jesus said that we are to love one another as he loved us. And that verse is found in John 13. And it's part of the Upper Room Discourse. It was Jesus' last day with his disciples, and the tone of the evening was, guys, I'm leaving. I have loved you while I have been with you, but I'm not going to be here anymore. New commandment I'm giving you. You love one another the way I loved you. Jesus isn't here anymore in person, but he expects that we display certain aspects of his character to one another by taking care of the needs that we see around us. As the phrase goes, you may be the only Jesus some people will ever see. And especially that's true in the church. Jesus' command was directed at us, that we take care of one another. Fortunately, he's given us abilities to do so. And that's what we're focusing on today. More specifically, we're focusing on differing abilities. And let's start with a working definition of abilities. Can you go back a slide, please? This is our working definition. The abilities we're focused on are the collection of strengths God wants to use to fulfill our unique kingdom purpose in life. Read it again. Our abilities are the collection of strengths God wants to use to fulfill our kingdom purpose in life. We each have some. Oh, didn't I have that slide? Maybe I didn't. Okay, sorry about that. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them a command to go rule the earth and subdue it. Bring it under their charge to bring God glory. That was in the beginning. In the church, God has given us rebirth. We're a new creation. A new creation. And he's given us a reorientation. We just went over that from John 13. Instead of being self-absorbed, I have a new orientation, and it's you. and you have a new orientation, and it's the fellowship of believers, primarily to take care of one another. And then God has also given us, and this is our focus this morning, relevant abilities. Not only has God given you abilities, but they are relevant to the task that needs to be done. In the church, God wants this to operate ability by ability by ability, need by need by need. The clearest biblical example that I know of in Scripture of personal abilities being useful to the purposes of God is found in Exodus 35. Here's the scene. Children of Israel had passed through the Red Sea, I think specifically the Gulf of Aqaba, and they journeyed to a place in northwest Saudi Arabia. There's a mountain there called Mount Sinai, and they spent about a year there. And during that year, Moses went up on the mountain and he got the law. And part of what he received from God was instruction on the construction of a big tent of meeting. Here's what we read. Then Moses said to the sons of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship." Isn't that amazing? This guy was given an ability from God, by God. God filled him to be able to construct things. What do you know? Just happened to need that ability. To make designs for working in gold and in silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones for settings and in the carving of wood so as to perform in every inventive work. Now, that's a lot of work for this guy to do. So verse 34 says, he also has put in his heart to teach so that the load could be shared a little bit. Both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and in fine linen and of a weaver as performers of every work and makers of design. Now, who would have ever imagined that an ability to embroider would be useful to the purposes of God? I think this is kind of funny, you know. You, if you're walking down the street, you don't say, "Oh, there goes an embroiderer. An embroiderer! Oh, must be amazingly important in the work of God." See, I want us to catch ourselves in that thinking that, well, not what I do is not important. You know, I just know how to back up a truck. Doesn't seem important until there happens to be a need for such a thing. You know, we should think that I'm made in God's image, so some things that I am able to do, he must need, or he wouldn't have given me that ability. With the work of Bezalel, God was showing himself to be beautiful, to be colorful, to be expressive. The embroidery was an expression. To be excellent and to be orderly. This tabernacle was symmetrical, 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, and all the curtain pieces matched, all of the supports matched. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. So similar things would be true of your ability. They express something about the God who gave them to you. This morning we want to organize our thinking concerning our abilities in three categories. And they are: discover your abilities, devote your abilities to God and his kingdom, and develop your abilities to their greatest impact. Discover, devote, and develop. So the first thing that would be helpful in using our abilities is to figure out what they are, get a little clearer understanding, to discover them. This is somewhat similar to discovering your spiritual gift or your heart, like we've gone over, but the difference is that our abilities may be things that seem to be just a natural part of us. We may have had it even before we were saved. God has given us some unique mental and physical abilities. If you brought your workbook, you can turn to page 31, where this is at. It looks like this. Our workbook has a list of abilities separated into categories. What we want us to think through is what we have a natural ability in. What I did was to go through every single one of these options, and I just put a 0 to 5 number beside each one. Not necessarily that important, but it helped me to visualize, oh, that's kind of a grouping that is the strength of mine. I used a whole lot of zeros in the dramatic arts area. Almost all of them were zero. I'm not. Sarah was up here earlier and she said, that tablecloth is crooked. I wouldn't have noticed. I don't care. Tim has this backdrop. And when we got it, I thought, what? You need a what? I like it. I just don't notice stuff like that. I'm a zero in that. But I have some fours also in the teaching, even in manual skills and in some administrative skills. You could do the same. It's kind of fun. Kind of fun to go through. Or you could ask somebody else, get some feedback on this. What do you think? Because sometimes what happens if you have a natural strength in something, you don't notice that you do something well. It's just natural for you. And somebody else says, no, that is a strength of yours. So step one would be to discover your abilities. Take some time this week to go through this list and see if you can identify at least five abilities that you would score higher in than others. We have a lot of abilities. I couldn't confirm this, so I'm not making this a dogmatic statement, but somebody that I read again in preparation for this said that we have between 300 and 500 natural abilities, each of us. I don't know where they got the information. That's just what somebody said, but that's a lot. That's a lot. So identify five. Okay, the next step in using your abilities for God's kingdom is to devote your abilities to His work. As I said earlier, the life of the church is very holistic. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of needs in a church. We have a life of a church. You got the beginning of a church. You got the advancement of the church. Back in Stonebrook, that church has been there now for about 40 years. And when I visit there, that's where this church was launched from, I just see a proliferation of areas of care being given. Everything has the opportunity to be excellent because they have people that have devoted themselves and their work to God in those areas. Maybe you're used to thinking, well, I'm just an electrician, or I'm just a plumber, or I'm just a nurse, or maybe I'm just a secretary or something. And those things, they don't matter to the building up of the kingdom. That's just not true. In a couple of years, we may buy a building. And if you're an electrician, it's probably going to be very handy because we're going to need to remodel whatever building we buy. And you can see a lot of areas. Or if you're a secretary, we're going to need one at some point. Don't think that what you are good at is not important in the kingdom of God. But you must devote those abilities to Him. Jesus said even a cup of water given in His name would be rewarded. God's watching. But the important phrase there is in His name. And we need to develop a habit of devoting ourselves, devoting our abilities to His work. What happens when we do that? What happens when we pray? What happens when we devote ourselves or devote our abilities to Him is that we become a little bit more perceptive. Oh, I could do that. This needs to be done, and I can do that. Whereas if we don't pray, we just kind of check it off the list. I went to church, got that done, and we go on. All right. Or maybe you're natural at thinking about health or cleanliness or orderliness. You know, you've just always been that way. God wants you to devote those abilities to the promotion of his church first. It might be so small a thing as to always make sure there's a little germicide bottle at every gathering, you know? Because you've just thought like this your whole life. You get it. Germs are bad. We need to take care of them. And that's how you minister. Don't think it's unimportant. The health of a church body is very important. We have those Faith Walkers conferences, and we always have the germicide bottles, and we do so because one year we didn't, and a whole bunch of people got sick. I'm shaking hands. You know, we're a pretty touchy-feely group, so maybe that's your area. If you do, it'll probably be part of God's well-done, good and faithful servant. I want to look at a couple of verses on this. From Romans 12, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present, devote your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. The idea of the sacrifice is just, I'm available. I'm giving up control of my body to do whatever you need to have done, Lord, in whatever ability that you've given me. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This is how we worship, by devoting our abilities to God's work. Another one from Romans is in chapter 6, verse 19. He says, just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present or devote yourselves and your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Devote your abilities. The point is, we need to devote our talents to Him. We need to take some time to ask God to use us in the area of ability to do what He needs to have done. Finally, we need to develop our abilities. This is just true of all of life. The athlete may have some raw talent, as they say, some natural ability, but he can get better. He needs development. He needs some focus. He needs some coaching, and he can improve. And the same thing is true of you and me in our areas of ability. We've got them, but they can be developed. Having an ability doesn't give us a pass from growing. What's more true is that we spend more time on our area of ability than in other areas. That is true in life. You know, it's a medical practice. He's giving time to it. Doctors and steam fitters and construction workers all have continuing education. Today, over at Decorah High School, there is a home show. And a lot of vendors, home-related vendors will be there, and what people will go there to see is, what's the advancement in your area? I want to see the development of your abilities. We like to see it. And the same is true at Lifehouse. People come here hoping to see advancement. It's happening, and God needs to have it happen, to develop our areas of ability. Let me give you a quote. Couple of quotes here. One gal said, but talent, if you don't encourage it, if you don't train it, it dies. It might run wild for a little while, but it will never mean anything. Like a wild horse, if you don't tame it and teach it to run on track, to pace itself and bear a rider, it doesn't matter how fast it is. It's useless. Just running around. Elizabeth Hand, I don't know who that is. And then from our local hog farmer, Francis Bacon, we read, natural abilities are like natural plants. They need pruning by study. Meaning, the plant is growing all right, but it can do better if we prune this off here. But you need to study it before you know what to prune. When I was in college, I pruned some apple trees. And I didn't know what I was doing. The guy that hired me had to tell me, basically, what he said was, you need to prune it down so a robin can fly through. You need to be hard on this tree. But I studied it. I studied where to cut. So it would, this bow would become strong and so forth. And so this is a focus on her development. I got a couple of related verses for you in this area of developing your area of ability. From Philippians 2, Paul writes that church and he says, "So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." You're saved. Develop. Grow up. Develop. Develop your abilities. Work it out. This isn't a works trip. It's not talking about working for salvation. It's working because of salvation. Working because of salvation, I want to make myself the most effective that I can. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. He says, "But you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist." Look at this. "Fulfill your ministry, Timothy." Fulfill your ministry. As I've thought about this, you know, you really, your ministry kind of unfolds as you walk along. You really don't know what your impact is supposed to be until you bring something to the table, until you invest your ability. As we started Lifehouse, there have been a number of people that I have thought, "Why, they can do everything." Well, really what has happened is we have so many needs and so few people. And so some people say, well, I'll try. And one or two or three or four or five people are doing a huge number of things that they're not particularly good at. But in the process of trying it, they discover, you know, I think this is an area that I could see myself helping out a lot in. And that becomes an area of ministry to develop. Another verse along that line is Colossians 4:17. Paul said, "Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it." Using your abilities is about becoming effective at something. It's about being an impact player in some area. And don't minimize any area. Any area God can flow through and bless your abilities and have a profound impact. I was just talking with someone earlier before the service, and he said that a visitor that was with us last week made an observation of all of us. They're team players, he said. Because we had to tear down. Well, we do it every day. It has an impact. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians about 12 or 14, one of those chapters, he said, if somebody comes into your fellowship and you're all speaking in tongues, he'll think you're crazy. But if somebody comes into your fellowship and you're all communicating like Tim did up here a few minutes ago, communicating what God has shared with me today, they will be struck to the heart, saying, God is there. Can I give you goosebumps? God is there. God is there. Because I see him. There's no other explanation for people being charged up about an interaction that they have had with God. So it is with our abilities. It can have a profound impact. Do not minimize the smallest thing. You know, when we clean up here, I take that big dry mop out, and the little kids always want to push that mop, and they always let them, because sometimes that's going to be their area. Maybe for years as they're growing up. They can do it, and they should do it. And it's a glory. It's a glory. So, God wants you to discover your abilities, to devote those abilities to his kingdom, and to develop in those areas to become the most effective that you can. I have an assignment for us this week, and I didn't print out a special sheet because you have your booklets. You can write this down in your booklet or wherever. Number one, study the abilities list on pages 31 to 33 of the notebook. Workbook. Identify five abilities that you think you're strong in. Pretty simple. Number two, share it with somebody. Share the results with at least one other person for confirmation or maybe some adjustment, like we talked about earlier. Somebody else has a different view of your life. Maybe something that you forgot. You forgot that you do well with a particular task. You overlooked it. Maybe they want to bring it up. And number three, then ask yourself, what would be one area of need that I see in Lifehouse Church where my spiritual gift and or my heart are in line with my abilities? For example, maybe you have the spiritual gift of compassion. And maybe you have a real heart for the newcomers that come in our midst. And maybe you have a real ability to speak encouragingly to them. You've just always practiced. Our oldest son is a master at this. He looks for every positive thing he can think of in your life. He looks for it, and then he brings it up in conversation. It's really inviting. One reason he's doing so well in his line of work. So, what would that be in your life, a spiritual gift that lines up with your heart and your abilities so that you can serve most effectively? And then ask yourself, how might I develop this ability? You can use each other in the development. You can ask somebody if they have an idea. Sometimes we have conferences that we can take you to. At GCLI, we call them Great Commission Leadership Institute. Focuses on different areas, and that would be part of a development. But if you have questions in this area, please just email me or Facebook Tim. However you want to communicate. Yeah, don't Facebook me, please. And we'll try to help. We're really serious about you becoming, feeling like I'm being used of God in Lifehouse Church. God has already prepared good work for you to walk in. We're just trying to help each other to do so. Let's pray here. God, we thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for the completeness of who we are. That not only do we have a spiritual gift, but we've also got a certain ambition and we've also got a certain ability package. We just ask this week you'd help us to discover it more clearly, to devote ourselves and our abilities to your work more fully, and to discern how we can develop our area. Please make this household a functional home in Jesus' name. Amen.